Taking our Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 24 is where we'll be this morning. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to begin in verse 15. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, just to clarify, we dumped an announcement on Nathan last second. The bags that Daniel have for you are for you to take and fill up with non-perishable items to bring back to the scouts so that they can therefore bless folks with them. So just to clarify on that, he has some bags you can get to go fill up with non-perishable items and then bring back to him. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says there, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get the things out that are in his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. That if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here's the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. If therefore they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the wilderness,' do not go forth, or 'Behold, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall this coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." Let's pray. Lord, we have already sung this morning about what a day that will be, and about how we have seen the light. And Lord, we need that reminder this morning as we just do life here now. So I'm thankful, God, that you are in control of everything, that there is coming a day that is better than this. God, I pray this morning, you know every heart in the room, you know where our struggles are, where our celebrations are, Lord. You know where we have just forgotten you and where we've embraced you, Lord. We need you this morning. We need to hear from you. We need to be touched by you. We need direction from you. We need strength from you. We need everything we need has to come from you, God. So I pray in this moment you would awaken our souls to hear your word, revive us, and you get the glory. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 24, we started it last week. The first 14 verses, got it all figured out, so you didn't even need to come back this week, right? Jesus is, this again, last week of his before he's crucified, he's in Jerusalem, he's with the disciples, and they've asked him at the beginning of chapter 24, Very serious question. The end of chapter 23, he is weeping over Jerusalem. And that doesn't quite resonate with them, even though he's told them he's going to die, they're going to crucify him, and still they don't fully get it. And so as they're walking out of the temple at the beginning of chapter 24, they point to him, the magnificence of the building itself. And Jesus tells them, there's coming a day. Now that's not what we want to, we don't sing that song, right? We want to sing a song about the better day that's coming, but Jesus tells them before the better day is coming, there's a worse day coming. And they don't understand, and they ask him back in verse 3 of chapter 24, tell us then these things, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Specific questions. They want details. They want answers. Some of us in the room are in that spot this morning. We want answers, right? We want answers. Some of us would like answers about the big picture stuff. When is it going to happen? What's going to take place? Some of us would just like some answers on immediate stuff, right? Some of us, in fact, aren't even asking questions about this, right? We're just living life. It's really easy for us to live life during a week with the assumption that there will be another week and almost exclude God. It's really easy for us in our culture today to get so distracted and busy that we just really can put God on the back burner, or this notion that things aren't just going to always be this way. And just kind of do life. And if that's you this morning, I want to remind you that your soul cries out for deeper answers, for bigger things than you. It's wired in you, whether you want to admit it or not, it's wired in you that this is not how it's always going to be. We face it all around us. Death is inevitable around us, right? We see it in our bodies. We see it in the newspaper. We see it on the news. We see it at the funeral homes and at funerals we go to. Death is all around us, and yet we want to just kind of avoid it and push it back. And I'm here to remind you this morning that things are going to happen. This will not always be as we are today. In fact, there's a good chance we may never be able to recreate this moment ever again in the life of this church, where we get every one of you exactly here now in the spot you're in, wearing what you wear, looking like how you look, feeling like how you feel, right? We can't recreate that next Sunday. So we're hit with this notion that things are passing and we're not in control. And yet, how do we make sense of it? The disciples are trying to make sense of it because Jesus is telling them things that are going to pass and they don't like the sound of it. And what we would like for Jesus to say, let's just be real honest this morning, what most of us would like Jesus to say if he came and sat down right in front of you right now and you say, what's the course of the rest of my life going to be and how's it going to end? We would like for Jesus to say, it's going to be easy. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of good stuff's going to happen to you. And then you get to come be in heaven. And if we're honest, that's the answer most of us would like to hear, most of us want, and probably what we spend a lot of time of our time praying towards. And that is not the answer that Jesus gives. Matthew 24, he continues. He's already told them in the first 14 verses. We're not going to go back over this, that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and that there'd be false prophets, and that there would be people rising up against him, and they'd be hated by all on account of his name. Not that pretty picture that we've often imagined. And then we get to verse 15, and a reminder from last week, Jesus is now talking about things to come, speaking in the form of prophets of old, and oftentimes prophets of old, and Jesus now, as he's saying things, it's twofold at least. He's declaring things that have an often an immediate fulfillment or a nearby fulfillment, But often those very things are often foreshadowing or something greater that's going to come down the road. And the difficulty of this passage, Matthew 24, is trying to figure out which of the things was he talking about that were more immediate and which are things to come. And I'm telling you now that I could pile a stack of commentaries up to here that could explain Matthew 24, and you could read through them. And if I had 12 commentaries, they'd have 12 different explanations of what Jesus is saying here. So fortunately for you, we have it figured out here at Cartlidge Creek. That's not true. But here's what we have. The first thing we see out of this passage, listen, is that life is not easy, nor will it be easy this side of heaven. Life is not easy, nor will it be easy this side of glory. He says in verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, it's big words there, it's this idea of something, it was implying, and he's actually quoting from Daniel, but it's this idea of something, an idol, something erected that would propel people away from the house of worship, something that would cause people not to come in and worship God where he was to be worshipped. It says, when you see that desolation of abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, Jesus' hearers, the ones that are hearing him say this, when he said this, would have immediately, their mind would have gone back about 160 plus years to when a ruler came in and set up an idol in the temple of God, and it propelled them away. They would have, that's part of their more recent history. They would have understood that. They would have got that. That's what it had been equated with. And yet that wasn't the fulfillment of that prophecy from Daniel, because now Jesus is saying it again, saying, when you see it happen. So it's something that had happened, the Daniel prophesied, that had happened already once. Jesus is saying, when you see this happen, you will flee. We know that after Jesus died, at A.D. 70, so about 40, near thereabouts, years after Jesus died, the Roman Emperor Titus comes in. The Jews had rebelled against Rome. They come in, and they seize Jerusalem. They surround Jerusalem with troops, cut off supplies. It got so horrific inside, the historians tell us, it got so horrific inside Jerusalem that they were sacrificing children and eating them because they were starving to death. And then the Romans came in. When they finally came in, it was such a violent upheaval that the stones of the temple were turned over just as Jesus said. And their emblem, the Roman emblems, were placed right there where the holy ground, Holy of Holies, was supposed to be. And the Jews were killed. And strangely enough, or ironically enough, there were Christians that listened to what Jesus said, because he says in verse 16, those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. There was a group of believers, Christians, as the Romans came in, that actually did flee and survived and went to the mountains. So understand that there are people that heard this, Jesus say this, and saw the fulfillment of this, at least part of this, in their lifetime. And they would have told you to your face, this is what Jesus was talking about. Now, is it possible that there's more fulfillment of this to come? That's why those 12 commentaries would be right here, because many people think so. But what we know is that for these people that heard Jesus say this, life got really, really difficult. We see it, and it tells them there in verse 17, it was going to be so quick and so extreme. It says, let him who's on the housetop not go down to get the things that are out in his house, and let him who's in the field not turn back to get his cloak. Woe to those who are with child and those who nurse babes in those days. Pray that your flight may not happen in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as not has occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. Many would argue that up to that point, that was the worst that Jerusalem had ever seen or ever experienced. The great tribulation. For these believers, listen, for these believers, Jesus is telling them, and then it comes to be true, that life is hard and will continue to be difficult and hard until death or until he comes back. Now, I know you came to church this morning wanting to be encouraged, but I am telling you, and many of you could stand up right now and say amen to this, because life is hard. And I want to tell you that he doesn't promise that it will get easy now. We want it that way. We pray that it would be that way, but hear me. There's no promise that it will be. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. If you didn't know, it's in the insert in your bulletin. That's why we start the baby bottles today. Sanctity of Life Sunday. It's the Sunday usually designated in January closest to the anniversary of the passing of Roe v. Wade. Since the passing of Roe v. Wade, the video said it's like 55 million. How much? 58. A lot. Let's go with that. Of abortions that have happened in this country. Statistics are easy to get comfortable with because it's just a number. Lives are a little bit harder to get comfortable with, right? It's a situation in our culture today that takes place. Life is difficult. It's hard. There's things happening that we wish would not happen. Tomorrow, many of you don't have work because tomorrow is a holiday, a national holiday, MLK Day. Because in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., whose life, whose protests were in light of injustice going on in a culture. So there are very many people in our culture that have experienced injustice and hardship in light of that and still do to this day, even though we might want to think it's not true. It's still there today. It's prevalent in our culture. Life is hard. I mean, within this one weekend, two things that are right before us that remind us that even life here in America is hard and not great for everybody. And then we could take examples from your own lives sitting on these pews or my life right now where life is not easy and it's not going the way we want to and it's hard and we say, where is God and why doesn't he fix it and why has it got to be this way and where are you at, Lord? And he's telling you from the start, he's still there, he's still in control, he just didn't promise it would be easy. But he does give us hope. He gives these people hope and he gives us hope in the midst of this, because he says in verse 22, 21 says there will be a great tribulation. 22 says, and unless those days had been cut short, those days of tribulation had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. When we read Scripture, we often ask the question, what do we learn about God? Hear this, what you learn about God is that he is in control of everything. He's in control of your good days and your bad days. He's in control of the people that seem to be ruining your life and the fact that you can't change it. He's in control of all of it. And he says, unless those days are cut short, he saw what they were going through. He had the power to stop when it needed to stop so that they could be preserved. And notice it says, unless those days would be cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the who? It says the elect. The elect. And Scripture uses that term often. It uses it in Ephesians. It uses it in Romans. The elect. Those that God has chosen. Those are his loved ones. And if you're a believer in Christ, hear me today, you are the elect. Not because you're great. So don't walk around patting yourself on the back like you're something special. It's because God loved you and saved you. And he has the power so that he can make sure that nothing happens to you that he does not ordain and allow, and nothing can happen to you that will overcome you or destroy you or wipe you out. It's the hope we have as life gets harder and harder is that there's a God who's in control and has your best interest at heart. But for the sake of the elect, he cut short those days. And I would argue if you look back, sometimes we need to look back, right? The storm's on us, swirling in front of us, and we can't make sense of anything, sometimes you have to look back to say, how has God cut short some days before for me? How has God stopped me from getting what I absolutely deserve? How has God preserved me? And many of us have stories, right? I shouldn't have survived. I shouldn't have made it. And God kept me. God saved me. God helped me. Somebody prayed me through it, right? And we could actually probably stop the service and just have testimony time and fill up the rest of the day with it, right? There is a God who's in control. That's the hope we have. Verse 23 says, if anyone says to you, behold, here's Christ, or there he is, do not believe them. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders. You see how bad it's going to get, that there will be people doing things that seem unreal and amazing? Listen, the church and God doesn't corner the market of miraculous things. There are other things that work in the world around us and that can do things that seem amazing, that God allows them to do it, but here it doesn't mean it's always from God. And it will take place, there will be people doing great signs and wonders, and it will mislead, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. That's what verse 24 says. Mislead, if possible. The way that's worded in Greek is saying that the attempt is going to be so believable that it would seem that everyone would go after it. But the way it's worded there is, if possible, means that it's actually not possible. It's not possible to mislead those who are truly of God. Now, we can get fooled at times and distracted some, but ultimately, to lead us away to God is not possible, because He's the one that's in control and has His hand upon you. Hear me today. He has His hand upon you, so there's nothing that can fool you to take you down a path that He cannot pull you back. There's nothing that you can do on your own choice you can make that can kick you out of His family, that you are His. That's what it means to be His elect, that you are His, that He's got you, and He'll never let you go. And three of us are excited about that this morning. And everybody else is already confused. Listen, this is great news because it gives us hope. It gives me reason to pray for someone when I don't see evidence of turning in them, but they have claimed to know Christ, and I am claiming if they know you, God, your hands upon them, and one day they will turn back. It gives me hope when I mess up and I'm on the ground face first, knowing how sinful I am and think I'm not worthy of this. God, have you left me? When things are going crazy in life and I can't fix it and I can't solve it, it means that there's still a God in control that still has His hand on me and will not let go. Hear that today, believer. He has not let you go. It's not gone the way you want, but He has not let you go, nor will He ever. Which brings us, it gives us hope in the immediate. To cause us to look forward. Because hear this, there is coming a day. God's people, hear that? There is coming a day. It says in verse 25, behold, I told you in advance. I can just hear Jesus saying, I told you. I told you in advance. Which is why in verse 1 through 14, He said, do not be afraid. Do not be troubled. Quit worrying. I've told you in advance. This is going to be some hard stuff that's going to take place, but I've told you. But there's hope because I'm in control. But if you can get a hold of that, then look forward, because guess what's going to happen? It says in verse 26, if therefore they say to you, behold, He's in the wilderness, don't go. Or behold, He's in the room, don't believe Him. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There is coming a day when He's coming back. Look at your neighbor and tell him He's coming back. He's coming back. says, verse 28, where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. There's going to be death, and there's going to be a lot of swarming around death, right? There's going to be a lot of lies and deception, and there's going to be a lot drawn to it. But here, this, despite all that, he is coming back. Verse 29, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, he starts quoting Old Testament. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And we read in Revelation that there will no longer be stars and sun and moon, because he is the light. You won't need it, because he is present, he is back, and he's more than enough. It says in verse 30, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And I can give you about 15 guesses of what that sign will be, from 15 people smarter than me. And I have not come to a conclusion yet, but I guarantee one thing, you will know it. When it shows, you will know it. Lightning from the east to the west, you know how it lights up the sky and everything's like, woo! I better get inside. That day will be, woo! Better not go inside. Because you're going to know. There's not going to be any guessing. There's not going to be any doubt. There's not going to be any question. It is going to be absolutely sure. And it says there, the tribes, verse 30, the tribes of the earth will mourn. The tribes of the earth will mourn. And that is not cry with tears of joy. That is mourn from the depths of their soul, because in that moment it will become absolutely clear what they have missed, what they have not accepted and believed in. And in that moment it will be clear that it is too late. Christ coming back, for those of us that know him, is the source of great joy and hope. For those that do not know him, will be the source of anguish and despair. So as much as you may get excited about that news this morning, listen, there are people that you know this morning that if it were to happen today would not rejoice in this. Which is why, again, we are compelled to be involved in people's lives, loving and lighting and showing and telling, because there is coming a day. I cannot save anyone, but Lord help me, there's coming a day. I don't want them to walk out and it happened tomorrow and they say, nobody told me. Nobody showed me. No, it's going to be painfully obvious to the tribes. Back up in verse 14, he says, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness. There will be no one that can say, I didn't know. The gospel will go forth to every tribe. Every tribe will have the gospel presence among it, which is our job, our responsibility to do now. Christ appears, and those that rejected will come face to face with the consequences. But the hope and the joy for us is, it says, we will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of sky with power and great glory. What we have yet to see with our eyes, if we're still alive, we get to see face to face. What only Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of on the mountain when he was transfigured and they were blown away, we get to see in full. What the saints that have gone before us are now seeing right now in the presence of Christ, if it happens while we're still here, we get to see in full, better than any sunset I've ever seen, better than any painting, better than any picture, better than anything that anyone could describe. It is the glory of Christ shining forth. What this world was created to praise, the center of the universe present, coming to us. And it says there, verse 31, he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. We will be gathered together, and hear me, it is going to be absolute, pure joy. My Savior is back. There it's coming a day. No more sorrows, no more pain. When I look upon His face, and what? How's the song go? When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Man, how glorious that will be. He is coming. There's coming. Hear me. There is coming a day. I'm going to keep saying it. I hope when you go home and try to eat your lunch, all you hear is, there is coming a day. And when you wake up tomorrow morning and you're like, Monday, you're like, it's a holiday. You still say, there is coming a day. And Tuesday, when you have to go to work and you don't like the alarm, you say, there is coming a day better than this day. Amen? There is coming a day. Now we will see, in the week, next week, we will see the result of this truth for us in the moment. We can't just sit back and say, there's coming a day, I don't have to do anything. No, it compels us to do stuff. We'll see next week. But I just want this to sit with you today and this week, that He is in control, and you know how the story ends. He is in control, and you know how the story ends, which means you can hang on in the midst of whatever you're in. The other night, my mother and stepfather came to visit us and spent the night with us, and my wife tortured us. That's right, she did. Because she decided, she had already seen this, and that's why I call it torture. She had already seen this documentary and decided it would be good for us to watch it as well. And so we watched a documentary the other night, and I always forget the guy's name. So Alex, that's his first name. It's a guy that likes to climb rocks with no rope. He climbs rocks with no rope. Vertical, not like walking up. I mean, he climbed, and the whole documentary was him climbing this thing called El Capitan. It's nobody had ever done it that we know of without ropes. They climbed it with ropes, but never before. And so there's this film crew that they're crazy enough to be hanging off rocks with cameras and ropes, filming this guy. And it's his training to do this, and then his attempt to go up like 2,000 feet. Took him almost 4 hours to go up this thing with no ropes, hanging on by fingertips and toes. And I say it was torture because, listen, I was pretty confident they weren't going to make a documentary where you see a guy die. I was pretty confident my wife wouldn't ask me to watch that, right? So I'm watching this thing knowing that the end, the guy's probably got to make it. He's got to make it. And yet the whole time I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I want to go back to my room. I don't want to watch this because he's like barely hanging on, right? I mean, it's just crazy. The cameramen don't even want to watch it. They're walking away from their cameras because they're expecting this guy just to fall and die. But you know how I had a good idea how it was going to end, so I hung in. And guess what? He made it to the top. And even then, I was like, I don't know if that was worth watching. Because I felt like I just had the most intense like hour of my life. Like, I felt like I was grabbing the chair so hard that I'd like poked holes in it, you know, like trying to help him hold on. But listen, does you know how the story ends? You can keep watching and going through it through the middle of it, right? We know ultimately how the story of all stories is going to end. He is going to come back. There is coming a day. He's going to come back, and it will be right. Amen. And we, all that we have messed up will be right. And all that's messed up around us will somehow be made right. And that is the hope we walk with today. Hear me. There is coming a day. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You. Lord, I absolutely wish I could explain this better with more details, and yet the things that I know true out of this passage is it's going to get hard and you're going to come back, and that you're in control. God, I pray for us this morning that those truths would help us this week. Give us hope for those that are in despair, Lord, that would help them just look up to you. For those of us that are just complacent, it would awaken us that there's more than just this life. There's more than just our job and just getting by, that there's eternity at stake. Lord, I praise you and thank you that one day we will see the victory that you've already won. And that you will get all the glory, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand, it's time of invitation. We're inviting you to respond. If you need to come pray, it's open. Altar's open. You can come pray. I can pray with you down front. If you need somebody to pray with you, just grab somebody nearby. You don't even have to tell them what it is. Just tell them to pray. But listen, a God that's in control. We believe a God that's conquered death, a Savior that's coming back. However dark today may be for you, listen, there is hope. In this moment, it's your chance to just do business with God. Eyes closed, head bowed. If you need somebody to pray with, I'll be down front. As He leads, you respond.